in today's environment, is property still the number one vehicle? And now I'm going to put some numbers to you to make you think about either do you invest in Bitcoin or property. In this case, we're not putting the $100,000 into property. We're going to put the $100,000 straight into Bitcoin. And at 29%, let's see what the numbers work at. Things are going up so fast right now that the money that you've got sitting in your bank account is not even keeping up with inflation. So in fact, you're going backwards. The point of this video is just to simply get your mind thinking about the possibilities and the potential of investing in what I consider the greatest asset of our generation. I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Crypto Collective. After making millions with Amazon and e-commerce, I realized that if I was starting again today, crypto would be my first choice. I'm here to help you take your first steps and build real wealth. Ready to set yourself up for life? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to Crypto Collective. My name is Matthew Fraser, and in today's episode, we're going to discuss why real estate investors are terrified of Bitcoin's insane returns. Now, if you had $100,000 right now, would you invest in property or Bitcoin? And today I'll break down the numbers, the pros and the cons to help you decide which path could lead to greater wealth. Now, I was talking to a friend just the other day who's at a crossroads. He has investment properties, but can't borrow any more money due to serviceability. So we discussed an alternative, Bitcoin, and the numbers might surprise you. Now, real estate has been a tried and true investment for decades, but in a world where Bitcoin's annual returns absolutely dwarf property growth, is it time to rethink your strategy? Now, admittedly, I've been in the property game myself for decades, and having grown up in the 90s, I came out of high school in the workforce in the very late 90s, and all I did was think about buying more property. I read a ton of books about buying property, but of course, back then there was no Bitcoin. So the vehicle to wealth seemed to be property. So Australians have been indoctrinated into buying more real estate. And look, admittedly, it has been a good way to create wealth, and it has kickstarted me to where I am now. But in today's environment, is property still the number one vehicle? And now I'm going to put some numbers to you to make you think about either do you invest in Bitcoin or property, or maybe you do a hybrid and invest in both. So let's take a look at the numbers. So imagine a $500,000 property growing at, let's just say 10%, okay? Even though the numbers suggest really it's closer to 7% annual growth on average, but let's just give it the benefit of the doubt and give it a boost and say 10%. Now that's versus $100,000 in Bitcoin compounding at what Michael Saylor says into the future, the next 20 years at least, will be a base case of 29% annual compounding growth rate. So which do you think wins after 20 years? Let's dive in. So let's talk about serviceability. Now, serviceability has a cap in real estate. Now, serviceability means how much can you borrow from the financial institution, namely your major banks, okay? And that's going to be based on your current debts plus also what your income is. And at some point along the scale, you're going to get to a point, like most people do, where you simply can't borrow any more money from the bank. Now, the reason why that is the case, as I mentioned before, so in order to get more money, you've either got to decrease debts or increase income. Now, income can mean through rental properties or from your day job. So essentially, there are borrowing limits which restrict further property investments for some individuals. So alternative investment options. I suggest, say, $100,000 into Bitcoin instead of leaving it idle, saving for future properties. Now, the historical returns on Bitcoin, just so you know, over the past decade has been over 60% compounding interest per annum. And the last 4 years has been 55%. And this year alone in 2024 has been over 100%. So the numbers are there. That's the evidence we've got. Compared that to if you had that same money sitting in property, the property would have done somewhere between 7%, maybe even 10% over the past 10, 20 years. All right, guys, now I want to show you the actual numbers. I'm going to show you this so you can see it with your own eyes on a spreadsheet. And keep in mind too, when I talk about the future growth potential of Bitcoin, look, nothing is certain. So this is not financial advice. Do your own research. But what I can tell you, as I mentioned before, is Michael Saylor is thinking, who's a Bitcoin evangelist. He's a pretty smart guy. He's thinking 29% annual growth rate as a base case. Some are suggesting upwards of 50% compounding annual growth rate. And so let's have a look at those numbers and see how it compares to if you had that same money sitting in a property. All right, so we're going to put in our $500,000. So $500,000 is what's going to be exposed in the market for the property, because don't forget, you're putting $100,000 in, but it's also leveraged, okay? That is a big difference. The bank is putting in $400,000. So we want to see at 7%, $500,000. Now, if you don't have this, I strongly suggest you get one of these compound interest apps. They are a lifesaver, and I literally live on this thing. Just maybe even pause this now and actually go and download the app for yourself so you can follow along. So the first thing I'm going to do is look at the $500,000 over at 7% over 10 years. So after 10 years, this property we expect to be worth just over $1 million. Okay. Now let's just see while we're here, what is this property expected to be worth after 20 years? Still at the 7%. And it's just over 2 million. So I'll just put in 2 million there. Now, in this case, we're not putting the $100,000 into property. We're going to put the $100,000 straight into Bitcoin. And at 29%, let's see what the numbers work at. So already at 29%, in a decade's time, it is going to be $1.8 million. Okay, far ahead of the property example. And let's see what it's going to be over 20 years. Wow. $32 million. That is completely incredible. But as I said before, it could be upwards of 50% annual growth rate for Bitcoin. So let's just see what that is going to look like. So we're still using $100,000. We're going to put 50% into the calculator over 10 years. And we're going to be at 14.5 million in 10 years. And then at 20 years, this is just off the chart. Absolutely off the chart. This is going to be $2 billion thereabouts. A bit over $2 billion. Totally insane. Absolutely insane. So when you compare those two, there is really no reason to go into property unless you don't have the conviction that Bitcoin is going to do those returns, or that Bitcoin is the safest asset. You know, you might be thinking that Bitcoin is just pie in the sky stuff. So if you're thinking that, then this is obviously not for you. So let's just say that Bitcoin is not for you, and you've got this $100,000 still. You still can't borrow any more money from the bank to buy more property. Let's say you just put it in term deposit. Right now, term deposit is giving you 5.5%. So over 10 years, your $100,000 is going to turn into a whopping $173,000. It's not even going to keep up what we call the hurdle rate. The hurdle rate is inflation. Things are going up so fast right now that the money that you've got sitting in your bank account is not even keeping up with inflation. So in fact, you're going backwards. And some say the hurdle rate right now is 14 or 15% per annum. So that's what you've got to think about when you're putting your money into an investment. Am I getting at least 14 or 15% return, which is staying ahead of inflation? So let's say that you do invest this $100,000 into Bitcoin. And as you can see, you're going to have somewhere between $1.8 to $14.5 million worth of Bitcoin value. And let's just say at this point, you decide that you still want to buy property. Well, you've got a couple of options. One is you could sell some or all of the Bitcoin and go and put that towards a property. Now, whether that be another deposit on a property, or you buy the property outright with the funds from Bitcoin. Or the other option is you actually hold onto the Bitcoin and borrow against the Bitcoin to buy property. So this is where you can find that property and Bitcoin can work together. Now, there's already companies in the US who are already offering loans on Bitcoin to buy property. Okay, so this is not something that's pie in the sky. It's happening right now. Now, admittedly, the Australian banks haven't caught onto this, but there are financial institutions right now in Australia who lend against Bitcoin. So here would be the idea. Let's just use the $1.8 million, okay? 10 years' time, you've got $1.8 million sitting in Bitcoin. You can now borrow up to 50% of the value of that Bitcoin. So you could borrow out $900,000 from the financial institution. And here's the benefit with doing that. One is you're not selling the Bitcoin, so you're still going to keep exposure to the market because it could still go up. And as you can see, over that up to 20 years, it's going to go up to $32 million. So why would you want to sell the 1.8 million and miss out on the potential gains? So you keep the Bitcoin, and by keeping the Bitcoin, you now don't have to pay any capital gains tax. Okay. And by borrowing the $900,000 or up to $900,000 on that Bitcoin, that is a loan. So that is now not treated as income. So again, is not a taxable event. So you're going to get the full $900,000. Now, admittedly, yes, there is going to be some interest component on that. But as in the property scenario at 7%, I haven't taken into account any tax deductions, any income from the property. I'm just looking at just comparing growth for growth. That's it. Not any other tax benefits, because you might find that with property, you're writing some things off there, renovations, or maybe you're flipping the property, which is fine. But if you're in a position where you can't buy any more property, this could be the option for you. And you might even find that after 5 to 10 years, you might be questioning why you're even in property altogether. Hey, just quickly, if you're ready to dive deeper into crypto and Bitcoin and build real wealth, join my free crypto collective community. It's where I share exclusive insights and strategies and live discussions to help you succeed, whether you're a beginner or scaling your portfolio. Click on the link in the description and join us today. Now back to the episode. So guys, the point of this video is just to simply get your mind thinking about the possibilities and the potential of investing in what I consider the greatest asset of our generation. Okay. It is generational wealth that equals Bitcoin. Now, all that said, I'm giving you all these amazing numbers, but there's something that I'm not telling you. And I'm going to tell you now. And that is that it really comes down to your own self-belief in the asset. And potentially, if you have a wife or a husband that's also going to be involved. So let me tell you a quick little side note story about myself, because you're going to say, well, Matt, you've got properties. Are you now selling all of your properties to put it into Bitcoin? And what I will say is it has been a journey for me. So as over the last few years, as I've been more educated in the Bitcoin space, I start thinking about why am I holding onto these properties? And only in the past 12 months, I came to the realization, well, not only did I move all of my superannuation over into Bitcoin. And for most people, when I say that, their jaw drops to the floor, because again, we're indoctrinated in Australia thinking that that superannuation is the lifesaver for our retirement, which I hate to say it again, but if please go and search some of my self-managed super fund videos on transferring that into Bitcoin, because I think it's something that you should definitely look at, because you will start realizing that probably the superannuation you've got now is not going to cut it when you retire. But that's a side note. So I have a wife. She's an amazing woman. And I've had to, I guess, bring her along the journey as well, because her money is my money and my money is her money. We're in it together, right? We're on the same wealth creation journey. And so you can't just come up with these ideas like what I've just presented to you and then just go to your wife or husband and say, okay, that's it. We're now just going to sell everything, or we're now going to put all this money into Bitcoin. You've got to do the research and educate your partner on why this is the best thing in our situation, and present her the facts, or him the facts, and then make the decision together. So over time, as I've said, I've moved all our superannuation into Bitcoin. And then the next step from that, once that was sort of worked out and things are looking great, then it's looking at the properties like, is this property serving us the best? And I can tell you that right now I'm in the process of selling one of my commercial properties that will net me about $500,000 or $600,000, and I'm going to move all that into Bitcoin. Now that is, again, for most people, a huge deal, but it takes time as you progress down this journey of understanding Bitcoin. So that is probably the biggest hurdle. A lot of people I speak to, even when they're at the very beginning of wanting to put $100 in or $1,000 in of their money, there's always a roadblock. And most times it's the partner, okay? Because they don't believe in the asset, and it's only because they don't understand it. And that's why you've got to educate them and bring them along the journey with you. So now that we've looked at the property versus Bitcoin in a macro level and looking at the growth of each one, let's break it down into each asset class and discuss the pros and the cons for you to consider. So one of the pros with property is that it creates cash flow through rental income. The other thing you can do with property is increase its value through things like renovations or developments. And it's a tangible physical asset, which some people love the idea of going to visit the property and touching it and seeing it. And depending on how you look at real estate, you would say that it is a more stable asset as opposed to the volatility of the property. So in Australia, it's not usual that you see 50 or 60% drops in real estate. I mean, can that happen? Sure, if you're investing in the wrong property and things like high-rise units, for example, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, they haven't moved in value for some of them over a decade. So you've got to be careful in that respect. Some of the cons when it comes to property, and this is probably one of the biggest ones lately, particularly with residential property, is increasing government regulations, things like rental caps. So it dictates how much you can and can't charge or how much you can increase it by. There's also things like this on a basic level, you now can't even decide if a tenant is to bring in a pet into your property. That is now basically illegal. You can't discriminate based on pets, but you might not want a pet in your property, okay? And that should be your decision. But unfortunately, because the government hasn't met the demands of properties, as in reducing red tape, green tape, black tape, and having a huge migration intake, it has really, really stuffed up the residential sector and housing within Australia. So they're now shifting the blame onto private investors of properties and therefore regulating it to the hilt, including things like Airbnb. If you look at somewhere like Melbourne or Victoria, they've now got a Airbnb tax. So trying to move people out of the rental market. That's why most of my properties are actually in commercial space. The other thing to think about with properties is you've got an ongoing cost of maintenance, property agents, fees, and land taxes. That is a big one. Whereas with Bitcoin, you don't have those ongoing costs. Well, there's so many pros when it comes to Bitcoin. And if we look at it just compared to property, one is there's no tenants. You don't have to worry about them at all. There's no tradespeople. There's no agents, no maintenance, no taxes, no government agencies to deal with. It's completely maintenance free. Okay. As long as you've got a computer, you're good. The other great thing about Bitcoin is its portability, right? With property, let's just say you want to move overseas and you want to take all your assets with you. You can't just pick up the property and take it with you, right? Just not going to happen. But with Bitcoin, you can just move overseas and the Bitcoin comes with you no matter where you go. Okay, so some of the cons to think about with Bitcoin, probably the number one thing is it has no direct cash flow, unlike property that obviously gets some sort of a rental income. The other thing would be volatility in the short term. Now, for me, I actually like volatility. Now, it can be volatility not just to the downside, which is what a lot of people think about. When you say volatility, they think, oh, the market's just crashing. But it's also volatility in the market to the upside. So for example, just in November 2024, it went up like 40%+. Okay, so that was volatility to the upside, which is a great thing for Bitcoin. So when you're thinking about property versus Bitcoin, there are many different voices and many different opinions. But I can tell you that even some of the big players in the Bitcoin space, they're even talking about selling Bitcoin to buy real estate. Whereas myself, I talk about selling real estate to buy Bitcoin. And it really depends on where you are in your journey. What I have found is that the younger you are, let's say you don't have real estate, but you do have Bitcoin, it might be something to think about to sell the Bitcoin or leverage against the Bitcoin to buy property. Now, I'm not talking about an investment property. Maybe it's your very first property. So I have no problem with that. We love to have our own castle and I've got my own castle and I think there's nothing wrong with that. But as far as investing goes, I dare say that as we move into the future, I will offload probably all of my investment properties and allocate those profits into Bitcoin. And it really comes down to your own personal preference, your own risk profile, and what you want to see for yourself and your family into the future. So guys, as we focus on the future, In my opinion, Bitcoin offers unmatched growth potential and flexibility for long-term generational wealth building. And if you'd like to know more, look at different scenarios when it comes to property and Bitcoin, make sure you jump into my Crypto Collective community. It's free. There's lots of resources there. Look forward to seeing you then. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to Crypto Collective. If you've enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more of me at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms.